Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Two of the V Show here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Thanks for being with us. Nikki V still here. I'm Nick Curran. Little Sunday morning hangover tag out though.
I'm saying I need to get entrance music for all you guys.
Yeah, apparently. Patty Ice moving on to get ready for the drive over at 93.9 The Ville with Mark Ennis. So we bring in live from the Baker Bunker, one Phil Baker.
Phil, my reception is better than Joe Lenardi's in recent and weeks. So, yes, I am doing great, Nicholas. How are you? It was good to see you briefly. And then I made the dart-like cold trickle back to the Bowman Field corridor to the Banker Bunker.
Yeah, I'm glad you got back to the bunker. I'm glad your bunker is hopefully better than Lenardi's bunker. I think Nick's got something cool we're going to do at the end of the hour or on the back end of the hour. Twitter poll.
As I'm crushing my second Witch
Witch. Yeah, sorry, sandwich. I didn't mean, you didn't have to, I was going to explain.
No, it's the V Show, come on man, get out of here.
Fair.
Yeah, and thank you.
It's on brand.
Yeah, absolutely. Phil, thanks for dropping by these delicious Witch Witch sandwiches on a Witch Witch Wednesday. We'll give them a little bit of love. I'm having an ultimate BLT. They put guac on it. Oh my God, it's so good.
I've had chips and a cookie.
Oh yeah, Courtney's cookies and the black pepper chips. Oh, forget it.
Don't sleep on the sides.
No,
they're very important.
Absolutely. So I wanted
all that hustle bustle down there. My bad. There's a slight delay, so that's me just barging in like the Kool-Aid man. So my apologies.
Or like Jack. It's
after
okay.
All that hustle and bustle to bring that. Yeah, right. To bring it down. I forgot to grab one. I was like, I gotta get home by one, and I was just like. Yeah, so that's on me. So Witch, use the 680 special. Mention ESPN Louisville, and you'll get a large Witch for just 680. I know Nick is taking advantage of that right now.
Hell yeah, I am.
Anyway, we're gonna do something at the end of the hour.
Yeah. So this is we do Bet Rivers Twitter polls all the time.
Yes.
Typically on the V Show, we try to do it as a Bet Rivers Twitter poll Tuesday. We only got two of the polls up though yesterday, so I feel like we usually try to do at least one an hour. So, in our very quick pre-show meeting, Nick and I discussed a Twitter poll that we'll post a little bit later involving conference tournaments.
Yeah.
And the locals. But I've had this kind of just in the chamber. And I wanted to do it with Dad, but I got to be honest, this isn't really in his demographic. It's way more us, you know, the 80s kids or the late 80s, early aughts kids. Because I got to thinking, I just finished playing the Batman Arkham Knight game. I'm behind. I just got a PS4 with the holidays and everything. And so I'm catching up on all the games that I wanted to play the past couple of years. And in it, it's voiced, Batman is voiced by Kevin Conroy. Who, if anyone was a fan of the animated series, they know that, you know, he is the voice of Batman. So I got to thinking, what characters do I basically, in an animated universe, do I associate with a certain person's portrayal of it? Like, and so I thought of perhaps, and I'll play these sound bites a little bit later so everyone knows what I'm talking about. I thought of maybe the Joker with Batman, Mark Hamill's portrayal of the Joker, or the guy who does the voice of Optimus Prime, Peter Cullen. And so I kind of racked my brain thinking of guys like that. So it's an audio-friendly Bet Rivers Twitter poll that we'll put a little bit later on.
It's definitely noticeable.
Now is Nick Curran, is he giving you just a blank stare right now? Because he doesn't strike me as a young Nick Curran in the early 90s that was watching any of these shows.
I watched a lot of cartoons. Yeah. I watched the Batman animated series. Yeah, no, I'm all about it. I didn't watch a lot of Transformers, sure, admittedly, so that'll 90s. Be – Garfield's right in my wheelhouse, though, if we get into that. There were some pretty big, I would say, you know, world-shaking type of changes in voices for characters as a kid growing up. Like, you know, you get used to a certain one, and then all of a sudden, hey, that's not how – I'm trying to think of a good example.
Well, I mean, Bugs Bunny. Mel Blanc did it forever, and then rest in peace, Mel Blanc.
Yeah. That's not how Bugs Bunny sounds. You know, it's kind of weird. So, yeah, I think I'm all in on this.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I know sometimes you're kind of stuck in the early 90s, so this may be a fastball right up the middle for you. So, yes, I'm excited to dive into this.
I don't know anyone's names. But I'll recognize, you know, the voice. So I think that'll play.
Exactly, and it's an audio-friendly medium, radio is. At least that's what I hear.
Yeah.
So
fill me in. I was distracted doing some other things for the first hour. I heard little tidbits about you all talking about Locks Follows. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you all talked about Louisville beating Notre Dame last night. Yeah. So fill me in what I missed. I know we're about to be joined by EC, if that's still official, in about 5 minutes, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. We got Eric Crawford in about 5 minutes. We talked about Louisville winning over Notre Dame. We heard some sound from Chris Mack last night. What a big bounce back win it was. And then we did sort of dovetail into Locke and who he still followed at the station and what story since he's left we would most want Locke here to talk about, which for me, I think, is probably the video.
That or Tiger. But, you know,
I said you can't pick the Tiger. We have to eliminate the Tiger story because we're going to – you're not – Locke's not going to bask in someone being in, like, a bad car wreck, right?
I mean, you would hope so, but I could also see a Nissan with a license plate that says UVA on it, seen fleeting the scene in L.A.
Goodness gracious.
That's the discussion for another day, but we can dive into that. Okay, so, I'm fascinated to see what you all are what Eric thinks about everything in terms of the win. The weekend that was, you and I just reset everything on Sunday. We dove into it. We're not going to jump on the holier than thou horse and say, you know, oh, he shouldn't be doing that. But I, in terms of the video, but I think it's an important conversation to have because, I mean, let's be honest, everything that we said was going to happen happened on Sunday. Like it got picked up on the bottom line of the ticker, and in a society in which you just kind of get small blurbs here and there, that was the story, unfortunately. And then with all the pauses that Louisville's had, for them to bounce back, you know, and that was the free fall that you saw after the loss against the blowout against UNC. I hate saying the word. I heard y'all talking about this, saying, you know, the must win. I would say it was a critical win that they needed to have in order to kind of change the narrative and turn the page from what was the weekend of the video being released by Kentucky Sports Radio.
Yeah, it was big for a lot of reasons, right? You got beat by 45 against North Carolina, needed to come back, and Patty Ice called it a Listerine game to get the bad taste out of your mouth, I guess, which I thought was somewhat apropos. You know, I think you needed it for that reason. You needed it because of the off-the-court stuff that was out there with the video and how that was covered, sure. You just needed the win. And I think, you know, then you find out that David Johnson isn't going to play shortly before the game. And, I mean, as... you know, people looking into it found that out. I'm sure they knew for a little while longer than before, you know, we did and everyone was warming up on the floor. But, you know, that casts even more doubt. And people say, oh, here we go. I'm not going to have David Johnson. What's going to happen here? And they were able to come out and play well, a balanced effort. Not perfect, but better certainly than they did Saturday. Much better on the defensive end and able to get a win in a game that, no, it wasn't a must win, but it was a... it was a really
it was a critical win. You really need to have it. You had to have a win like that to change the narrative of the COVID pauses. And look, this is my thing about it. Like, I didn't want to make it completely about the video, although I think it's a complete it's a big part of the storyline with the COVID pauses and everything. My fear Sunday, and for those that didn't listen to the Sunday Morning Hangover, Nick Kerr and myself,
but our parents.
Yes, right. So yeah. I was a little bit concerned about they were running out of time to make a case. I understand they had the opportunity, and you saw it last night with the net rankings and the quad wins to just catapult a little bit. But I was fearful with not having a full roster, losing a star player in David Johnson, and not having many opportunities left to make their case. I mean, because let's be honest, they catapulted to, and some bracketologists, and I heard Mike DeCorsion with Andy yesterday talk about it wasn't his necessarily, but they had free fell, to the last four in. Mm-hmm. and that's concerning when you are staring, there is light at the end of the tunnel of this season and making its case for him. And let's be honest, it goes back to hearing some of, I talked to Maben about this before I left. Hearing some of the people, and it's a small sample size, so I don't want to say this is the entire fan base speaking for this one caller, but I think there is some truth to it that people are nervous in the sense that the David Padgett year and then everything that happened with Patino, and then I think it's unfair to Chris Mack, but people point to last year with the way the season ended, and they said what was heading, which that's not fair because of the COVID being called off by the COVID just putting a halt on all conference tournaments. People they lumped that together and saying, oh, well, they weren't going to, have a good season or a good tournament. It's like, you don't know that. But when you look at where the COVID pauses here, there's this fear and the sense of uncertainty of where the program was heading and not playing games. And are you going to be in and out of the tournament? And let's be honest, you saw, the NCAA is reviewing what is going to happen with this team moving forward and this program moving forward. And who knows what the tournament's going to look like in the years to come. So I think you're trying to strike lightning in a bottle, and when you're not playing games, it creates fear for, I think, a lot of fans out there on what potentially is going to happen and what the future holds for this program.
Yeah, and for all of that, a big win. And you talked about worried about they were running out of time on Sunday, and I think they have plenty of games left that can sort of catapult them in a better position. They play some quality games. Last night, Notre Dame was the worst of the four. They go to Duke. That's a good game. They go to Virginia Tech. That's a good game. They host Virginia. That's obviously a good game. Like, they have a chance to pick up some quality wins in that. And so I think they have, three opportunities left in three games to pick up wins that can really improve their resume. And we'll see if they're able to do it. And then, of course, they have the ACC tournament and how things fall there. They're still very much in the mix for a double bye there, which is kind of crazy. I feel like it's kind of interesting. People, kind of panicking going into the conference tournament and worried about how this team will perform in the NCAA tournament and whatever. We don't know, but it's kind of funny that they're still in the mix for a double bye.
You know what I mean? And obviously, winning percentage, it's a different year in terms of the wins and loss really don't matter because not everyone's going to play the same amount of games. You go to winning percentage. That's where I think it kind of, you had a collective relief around the Louisville fan base that said, okay, now we understand it, and you've been very vocal on, you can't put too much stock into the Wisconsin game or the North Carolina game. I've been kind of on the other side of that coin of saying, it's got to count for something, but you've seen college basketball teams as a whole react differently to how they come off a pause, and I think you have to put some stock into that. I just feared that they were running out of time in terms of games. And guess what? They proved me wrong last night. They went out there. They took care of business. They did what they needed to do against a Notre Dame team that obviously isn't having the best year at everything, but they took care of business when they needed to. And outside of the missed layups, my God, Twitter was on fire with the missed layups.
They missed
and
a couple.
Dunking the basketball. Yeah, just a few, I would say. And then, poor Dave O'Brien. Yeah, man,
he didn't have as good a connection as you do.
I mean, you need to put a plug, if you will, to somebody at the ACC network. It's like, I'm on standby if you need me.
Listen,
put some feelers out there.
Corey Alexander did a really nice job.
He did a great job being tossed to the wolves, man.
He sure did.
He did a look for those, but and I know Nikki V can attest to this. You can attest the show when you prepare for a show and you think either A, your co-host is going to be there. Like you can mentally prepare. If Nick says, "Hey, like you know, I'm gone in the second hour," you prepare a little bit differently than you do when we're going into this just kind of on a whim. But I mean, he was just swimming out there, treading water. But he was in the deep end. Remember when the deep end? You had to throw pizzas and ride a bicycle. That was my man, Corey Alexander, out there last night. So he did a fine job with Dave O'Brien's connection being a little bit faulty.
Wait, what was the pizzas and bicycles?
Did you ever do that in the deep end where you had to tread water? You're riding a bike throwing pizzas.
I had the ride the bike thing. I don't think anyone ever
you're throwing pizzas. I never got the deep end. You must have been swimming in the shallow end. No
one ever brought up throwing pizzas. They just
you're throwing pizzas and riding a bicycle. Your boy was flexing when he got that deep end on when that permanent marker on his hand right there. So shout out to that.
Goodness.
I'm not a very good swimmer. Jamie can't swim at all, and I can swim enough to basically get from a canoe to the shore, which I learned the hard way. But yeah, it's
that's good. Yeah. Sink or swim, literally.
Yeah, Kentucky River, man.
Yeah.
There's no pause button on that thing.
No, you're figuring it out.
Yeah, it's literally sink or swim, pass-fail test.
Which is what Corey Alexander did last night and did a phenomenal job.
Bicycles and pizzas, though.
I've never heard the throwing the pizza thing. The bicycle thing, that was very much how I was taught to tread water, but the throwing the pizza thing, I never
I'm
never
putting that up as an impromptu right before we get Smush Crawford on. Eric Crawford's joining us now from WDOB. I'm going to go ahead and pot him through, and then I'm going to put that up as a Bet Rivers Twitter poll. Have you ever heard of the phrase riding a bike and throwing pizzas in terms of treading water?
Get the deep end test, yes. YMCA, Southeast YMCA, your boy passed the test with flying colors.
Yeah, well, proud of you, Phil. Eric, have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, have you?
I have not.
Okay.
I have not. I mean, what little I just heard of the tail end of this discussion, that is not a phrase I'm familiar with. And I've heard a lot of them.
You heard all you needed to from the discussion, I would guess. And the riding the bicycle thing, that's how they taught me to tread water back in the day. But the throwing the pizzas part, that's a new thing.
Yeah, it's new to me.
Okay, well, I'm glad we're not the only ones. Eric Crawford from WDRB joining us. Eric, no real great way to segue back into Louisville basketball, but hey, big win over Notre Dame last night. There's sort of varying opinions about how important that win was, and you know, was it a must win or whatever? But how important do you think it was for them to bounce back and get a win last night?
Well, you know, we could have gone the whole route of what do you do when you fall off the bicycle, in a horrible manner. They got back up on the bike and they started pedaling and they didn't fall off again last night. So I guess from that standpoint, it's good. I termed it a solid recovery because they looked more like themselves. They didn't show any ill effects as far as hanging heads or body language or anything like that. They got a big lead quickly and they kept it, and really, except for a little stumble at the end, didn't get threatened. So from all of those standpoints, I think it was good. It was not the emphatic performance that you'd like to see as you're getting ready. It's not going to be good enough, for instance, I don't think, to win at Duke or Virginia Tech or whatever. But those are games they can win, and they need to win some of those. You know, they got three left. They're all tough. They need to win at least one and preferably more.
Yeah, and you know, another part of the story last night was David Johnson not playing. In kind of a weird way, or maybe not a weird way, but do you think that was a good thing for this team to not have him? He's kind of one of the security blankets along with Carlique Jones, who was out there and certainly played well. But do you think that it was maybe a good learning experience or a good experience for this team to have to sort of get it done more by committee than at times we've seen them kind of rely on Carlique and David Johnson, but they didn't have one of those two guys last night, and they did get a really balanced scoring effort.
Well, I don't think there is any committee. I think it's Carly Jones, even when David is out there. If you look at the amount of time that the ball is in his hands, you know how Ken Pom breaks down the contributors. There's only one major contributor on this team, and it's Carly Jones, and the ball is in his hands most of the time. So Johnson, you know, is he's nice to have, but I don't know if they needed him for this particular game. There needs to be, I don't know how to delicately phrase this, I'd like to see him even more into that role. I think he's had a hard time trying to figure out where he fits with Carly being such a feature of this offense. And I do think there's a little bit, not that there's any bad, you know, feeling or anything. I think it's just hard, kind of like a puzzle, and how to put it all together. So I'd like to see the ball move more, regardless of who's out there, certainly more than it did last night. And I felt like they were doing that early in the season and have done it less as the season went on. So it'll be interesting to watch the dynamic when Johnson does come back. Of course, you're adding in new guys anyway. Menland, it doesn't look like Stills found, you know, what his slot is. We know what Malik Williams' place is, and it's great to see him out there, and he's, I think, going to be better and better. So they got a chance to be good, and they can beat some people, but, you know, it's getting to be time. You know, it's got to get put together right now, and there's really no way around that. These next three games are difficult, and if you're not on, you're not going to win them.
Eric Crawford with WDRB Sports, Nick Kern, Phil Baker, Nick Valvano in for Bobby V today. I don't know how much meat's left on the bone with this story without the mask. I know your colleague Rick Bozich wrote about it on WDRB.com. Your thoughts and just takeaways from that video. My opinion is that it was just a bad look with all the pauses, but I'm not going to pull the holier-than-thou card and say I haven't gotten together with some friends socially distanced wearing masks and everything. I know it's not the best look, but your initial reactions to that?
Well, I mean, we'd be having a lot different conversation if anybody had gotten COVID, like, right after that. The fact that, you know, Louisville wasn't on pause then, you know, right after that and all that, it's not nearly as big a deal. No, it doesn't look good. And it just goes to show you, as a college basketball coach at a major program, you got to watch what you're doing, even in your own home. I mean, that would have been funny, you know, if they'd called Kenny Payne and done that and him laughed about it. But to tape a video of it, I don't care who's got it. It's getting out at some point. So you got to, you know, you really have to watch it. It's just, there's just nothing you can do. You got to be the coach all the time. And that's a hard thing to do, even when it's just a silly playing around kind of situation. But there's almost nothing you can do that won't blow up in your face. it's hard to do it because, we want these coaches to be candid. My problem as a reporter after that Kentucky game was Mac gets in the news conference and just acts like it's another win and all that. And then, you know, a couple hours later we see the video of the locker room after the game, and he's walking in there with his hands up like he's Rocky, and it's just celebration. Well, that's not the tone they portrayed after the game. So they portrayed one thing, and clearly from the locker room, from this video and Mac's own home, we know that the real reaction was something different entirely. So I don't know what any of that I'm saying means. It's just that as a major college basketball coach, you really got to watch it.
Yeah, and I to piggyback off that, like, again, I personally don't care in terms of, like, him chirping at John Calipari, you know, and reaching out to him. I thought that was funny. It's good for the rivalry. I think it's just being the face or being one of the founding fathers this year of COVID in terms of pauses is probably why a lot of people are pointing to that. And you just do a little any sort of work or journalistic work and see in the background there's the Dolphins and Raiders game going on, and you can tell it's after the Louisville-Kentucky game. I guess it goes back to it's just unwarranted press whenever you see it on the bottom line of the ticker. You never want to see yourself, especially with the few years that Louisville has had, as the bottom line thing on the ticker on there. So hopefully it goes away. But I guess the piggyback also off that, Bracketology has Louisville right now kind of sitting anywhere from, I've seen 8-9 game, I've seen a 10 seed, 11 seed. What do you think Louisville needs to do in these next few games and heading into the tournament to catapult that seeding number to get a better seed in the NCAA tournament?
Well, and just to add one last thing on that prior topic, once you do that tape, you cannot lose to Kentucky next season. You right. better beat them. It becomes a bigger problem agree. If you don't beat them. And so that's where you put yourself. They have a chance. I mean, I know Duke is not, you know, numerically speaking, going to do you a ton of good, but they're playing well, and they've won four in a row. And, in fact, if I'm Duke and Louisville's coming to Cameron Indoor Stadium and I see where I am and I see where Louisville is, my thought is it's us or them. I mean, winner of that game has a lot better shot of going to the NCAA tournament than the loser. And so that's the kind of, you know, intensity Louisville's going to be walking into. But, look, if they win at Duke, if they win at Virginia Tech, if they beat Virginia, if they ran that table, their seed would improve dramatically. It would give them the kind of quad one type, quality type wins that they really don't have at this point. So they need to pile some of those up. There's a lot of importance on these last three games. I think where ESPN has them now is probably about right, but I think they've got a chance to improve over these next games and then, you know, maybe an elite tournament. So I don't think it's everything is set in stone yet.
Yeah, definitely a chance to maybe improve the stock with three regular season games, and then we'll see what happens in the ACC tournament as well. Talking to Eric Crawford from WDRB, and want to switch gears a little bit to a couple of other teams. First off, you have, as long as I've been around that program and doing the games for 7 years, you've been there covering them as much as anybody, and that's Bellarmine getting ready in its first Division I season to have a winner-take-all game for an A-Sun championship on Saturday at noon against Liberty, a national TV broadcast on ESPNU. I know you were there for that Duke trip when Bellarmine was coming off the national championship for the 2011-2012 season. They went and played an exhibition at Duke, and then fast forward to this year was their regular season opener, and just different things like that. Just kind of your thoughts on how far that program has come in the last decade or so, and now in its first year at Division I, a chance to win a regular season conference title with a win Saturday.
Yeah, it's just pretty amazing to watch how that's unfolded. And really, we talk about how far they've come, but the fact of the matter is, they're doing what they always do. I mean, they're playing the way they always play. They got the same players they had a year ago when they kind of struggled down the stretch in the Great Lakes Valley Conference. They're just, they do what they do, and Scott Davenport has that program. There's a certain philosophy about it. It's about playing together, playing as a team on offense and defense. These guys are really smart. They can learn about their opponent and kind of adapt as games go on. I think a lot of times you'll see a team shoot lights out early and then Bellarmine adjust and kind of get a second half run because they figured out some things to do defensively. So they shoot it really well. I mean, they're among the top 10, I think, still in field goal percentage in Division I. Last night when Louisville was 5 of 12 on layups against Notre Dame, I put, you know, the shooting percentages of IU, UK, U of L up at the rim, and they're all around 60, 62%, whatever. Bellarmine's at 72%. Mm-hmm. They don't take bad shots, and they create great action toward the basket where they're smaller than every team they play, and they still get layups. So they're really good, and they have been for a while. I'm just glad to see them having a success like this year and getting attention for it.
Yeah, I guess that's, like you said, they're not doing anything different per se. It's the same game they've played, and they continue to do it, but getting more of a spotlight because of the level they're playing, and that is really, really cool to see, and a big one Saturday at noon on ESPNU. Free parking, by the way, if you make it out to Freedom Hall for that one. Yes, a huge deal.
Yeah,
indeed.
I hope it's a good crowd out there. I mean, I know it's COVID, and we're all a little gun-shy on this, but They've been getting about 1,000 people. It'd be great if they got a few thousand or whatever they can get out there for this one.
Yeah, enormous game. Hopefully folks can make it out to Freedom Hall for that. Eric Crawford from WDRB, our guest. Switching gears to another program that you cover as much as anybody You know, UofL women's basketball coming off a loss to Florida State on Sunday, trying to bounce back with a win, could win a fourth consecutive ACC regular season title if they can win against Notre Dame on Sunday. But this is kind of a, I guess, a sports media nerd question a little bit. Going back to last Thursday, Louisville won at Pitt. Dana Evans had 29 points. Jeff Walls talked in the post game about how he felt like, you know, you would have to really work to see how well Dana had played if you go to ESPN's website, for instance, that they he feels like get kind of a narrative in mind, certain teams, certain players that they want to follow, and it's really hard to get them to sort of veer off that. I remember when I was in, it kind of got me to thinking, when I was in college, 10, 12 years ago, the big thing was broadcast local TV news sports is dying. That's what our teachers sort of drilled into us. It's going away. You've got to find a way to be more unique because it's going away. It's going away. Mm-hmm. And I just find it interesting, you know, when you have the coach of the, at the time, the number three team in the country in women's basketball with very much a potential national player of the year having that sort of performance, talking about how, you know, nationally he didn't feel like she was going to get any attention for that. And I go back to, well, that's exactly why you have local sports coverage, because that's how you keep up with stuff like that, because I think he makes a really valid point, and I think that's why it's so important to have folks like you and others doing the job of covering sports here. Just kind of your thoughts about that and you know the national attention and how that doesn't always kind of cover everything, even stuff that's really, really prominent.
Yeah, it's that's just how it's kind of always been, and you know ESPN is a special entity, and it's where you want to go, I guess, if you want the news out nationally and ACC network and all that. But, you know, even a local sportscast, and you know, local news has had its problems. I mean, our viewership is exponentially larger, even for a local newscast, just on one channel, just on WDRB, than any number that the ACC network puts up. Sure. Or any number that ESPN puts up, at least in this market. And, you know, honestly, it's probably the same for web. I don't know what those websites do in our market. You know, we do more traffic than anybody, including the Courier-Journal, who they're, you know, want to work with more than anybody. So I don't know, you know, what they want. I do know they want a national, you know, kind of readership, viewership. But, you know, you can do your own. UofL, like, did their own Dana Evans documentary thing. They'd have been a whole lot better off to have somebody locally, not themselves, do that just from a publicity exposure standpoint. That's a fact. So I think in a little way, I agree with him. Now, I don't watch ESPN, so I don't know how they're dealing with Dana Evans or anybody else.
Fair.
Much in women's college basketball. I just don't see it. But I know that more and more they're reporting on themselves and they're doing stuff on themselves and they, you know, pick a couple people here and there. And if they're not satisfied, they also need to look at how they're doing things and where they're pointing the coverage to be. So, you know, we can all do what we can do, but in the end, I think you're not going to really move ESPN, you know, doing it that way.
Eric Crawford, WDRB Sports. Last one for me, and to piggyback off that, actually, I mean, you've seen it with the model of somebody, we're an ESPN affiliate, then putting some of the stories up from the ESPN college basketball page with some dated stories and everything. It's usually behind a paywall, so they're kind of going the Athletic model in terms of trying to get folks to switch over to ESPN Plus. So I'm in agreement with you on that, which why when you're looking at the top headlines, Max maskless video, not a good look is still on the top headlines because God forbid you have anything updated on actual college basketball. Last one for me, Kentucky. I'm not going to, you know, ask you the question about are they potentially going to make the NCAA tournament. Obviously, we know you need to win the SEC tournament for that to even be a chance. They beat Tennessee. You wrote about it on WDRB.com. They're on a three-game winning streak. The game against Texas A&M was postponed. John Calipari moving forward, I guess, is the question. He is going to have to change some things recruiting wise, right, in order to kind of, when college basketball is continuing to evolve.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it's going to depend on what the landscape is. Where are we from a virus standpoint? I do think that they have been hurt more by the way COVID has made things than the usual program. I don't think that's just an excuse. I think that there's a lot of things that he does with teams just to build them and develop them, and a lot of team building type stuff that they just can't do right now because of COVID and where things stand. And so I don't know that he needs to change too much, because I don't think he's going to lose a ton of people, you know, to the NBA this year. And unless they really take advantage of the liberal transfer policies in place right now, I don't know how many, you know, people off this team he's going to lose. He could have some quality back on this team. So he might have the kind of mix that he needs already building into place at Kentucky. But I really do view this year, especially when you look at how the losses came about early, I just have to believe that in a normal year, they might not have a great record. This is not one of his best teams regardless, but they'd have a good enough record right now to go to the NCAA tournament. So can they win the SEC? Sure. But it's such a – there's just zero margin for error. And one guy having a bad night against the wrong team and you're done. So that's where they stand. I don't know that he needs to change a ton of stuff. He's had a lot of success. I do think he needs to kind of gather a few more traditional college players than he always has, but I think that might take care of itself here this year.
It very well might with the way everything is. Eric, as always, very much appreciate the time. Enjoy, everything coming up this weekend.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Be soon.
Eric Crawford from WDRB. Big thanks to him as always for joining us, and some good stuff there. I thought some really good perspective on the Cards, and obviously the Cats with a small margin for error. I still think they probably win the SEC tournament. That's where I am. I still think they
to be unlistenable Sunday, because you were all in on this. If they are able to pull this off, you better start pulling some sound of people making fun of you.
I'm dying on this hill, and I probably will die on it. But I think. Man, I just think it could happen. So we'll see. We'll see if it does. We mentioned it, Bellarmine taking on Liberty Saturday at noon. We might talk a little bit more about that as we move along throughout the show. But a huge game there. What a season for the Knights. We haven't talked about WKU and didn't bring it up with Eric, but a big game with Houston coming up on Thursday night, tomorrow night. They kind of scheduled a game late to sort of bolster their late season schedule, certainly in the mix in Conference USA. And we were throwing around the idea of throwing up a Twitter poll. And I don't know if we want to do it now, because we're about to throw up like an audio Twitter poll, the Bet Rivers.
I actually already put it up. I put it up at the start of the hour so it'd get a little traction, and that way I was ensured that it was up while we talked about it. Cause sometimes we'll talk about a poll and then, you know, the ADD will kick in.
Ooh, squirrel, we're all over the place. Yeah, exactly. It happens to the best of us real quick, but you know what'll make you get that ADD and a squirrel? Which? I know Nikki V took advantage of it. Nick Kern took advantage of it. I forgot to take advantage of it, so that's on me. So a big shout-out to Jason and the team for bringing by lunch to the ESPN Louisville Studios. It's a Witch Wednesday. Be sure to get carryout, curbside, or delivery from the Hurstbourne or Brownsboro Crossing location for lunch or dinner. Try the ESPN Louisville special, A Large Witch, for $6.80 on call-in orders. Only Witch Superior Sandwiches.
But the Bet Rivers Twitter poll was, which men's basketball team has the best chance to win their conference tournament? U of L, Bellarmine, UK, or WKU?
I'm going to say Bellarmine. Actually, WKU, if you're sprinkling WKU in there. I
think it's one of those two.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. Maybe. Louisville. Yeah, I don't.
Maybe
right now.
Maybe a tie between those two. The Knights, first year in the A-Sun, could win the conference tournament, could win the regular season championship with a win against Liberty, winner take all on Saturday. And it's going to be interesting. We'd love to hear your thoughts, your votes on that Bet Rivers Twitter poll. Also, I know that was a men's basketball question. I think on the women's side, the Cards have as good a chance as anybody to win the ACC tournament. They play Notre Dame 3 o'clock on Sunday on ESPN. A win would get the Cards their fourth straight regular season championship in the ACC. You can hear from Jeff Walls tonight, 7 to 8 on the Jeff Walls Show over on 93.9 The Ville. Love to have your calls and texts and tweets and just questions and comments throughout that tonight.
Now, was that your first time in the new studio?
Well, that will be, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice. Okay, okay, so I didn't know if you were going to do this from the current cabin the little nook that you have set up in your room now that everything can be done remotely, or how that was going to work.
No, I'm planning on being here, yeah. So maybe the first time. If everything's set up well in there to be able to do it, that'll be
the plan. That new car smell still. I took a big whiff.
Like trading paint a little bit. Like paint.
Yeah. See what you did there, because of patty ice.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what we're doing. But wanted to ask that of Eric because Jeff brought that up last week on a post-game interview. It kind of caught some traction. He kind of went at ESPN a little bit for not covering Dana Evans and his team more, because they do, and it happens in a lot of sports, and I think I notice it a lot in both men's basketball and women's basketball, where they pick a program or two, a player or two that are going to get really, really covered, and then everyone else kind of falls by the wayside. So
we talk about this on Sunday
of local sports. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, we talk about it on Sunday all the time. I think when you deplete the staff that they have over there, quite frankly, and I mean, obviously we're an ESPN affiliate, so I mean, not to get too much in the weeds, but I think when you see the contract obligations, and I've talked about it in the past, I've listened to a fascinating podcast with the head of ESPN that talked about when you start getting into bed with some of these sports leagues and you have these financial obligations in terms of coverage, and it's NFL all the time, and I understand NFL's the biggest, the baddest, the bully on the block in terms of coverage. Some of these other things get missed along the lines. And I think you've seen that with college basketball, and you've seen some people that were at ESPN kind of start their own thing, whether it be Jeff Goodman, or you've seen C.L. Brown move on. Like, The Athletic has taken a portion of that. Jeff Greer, what he's been doing in terms of making it hyper-local with some of those things. And then you've alluded to with the local media here. So it's kind of the nature of the beast, unfortunately, just because of the model with you've seen with The Athletic and trying to have that pay subscription model and making it work. But yeah, I mean, it's been depleted. We talked about it like with SportsCenter. Like, I feel like a lot of people, we're college basketball nuts. It's the top college basketball market, but it just feels different this year, A, because you're not at the games, and I think there's something to it. I know you talk about in the past how viewership for ESPN, whatever, it just feels like the coverage is not nearly as there as it has been in years past outside of, like, the college basketball final. You watch SportsCenter sometimes, and I understand SportsCenter is a different model, and you don't go to it for just the replays and highlights of it just now, but like I think on Sunday, like the half hour headlines, it was talking about Kentucky because it's a blue blood and it's probably the widest audience. And whether it be Duke, anyone from the Champions Classic is probably going to have the biggest pool of fans that are visiting their site for that. And they have those metrics. They see that. So when they put that up there, it's like, you know, Kentucky on a 3-game winning streak. Well, that shouldn't be the story in college basketball when you have teams like Gonzaga and Baylor. I think it is a component of not having those blue bloods there, but it just goes to show they know where their bread is buttered, if you will, and having those blue bloods getting clicks to their website. So no fault of their own. It just is what it is. It's the new model of what ESPN's trying to go and getting into bed with their partners in these sports leagues. And I think that's why you've seen such a heavy stance on NFL, NBA, yeah. UFC. And unfortunately, that's why you see, Nicky V, hockey kind of doesn't get any love on there. And college basketball, they have some focus on there with college basketball final and game day, but they don't go all out like they do with the college football playoff.
Yeah, I think this is where we disagree slightly. I've noticed, I've kind of felt this way about it for years now. You think it feels differently this year? I don't think it does. I think it feels about the same as it has for the last several years, where it's just kind of like, we're going to promote Ben Simmons or Zion Williamson and not met.
Well,
much
yeah,
else.
You move from, yes, as you pointed to with what you said Jeff Walls was talking about. There's not that person this year that's as marketable as somebody like Zion Williamson, and that's from nobody's fault of their own.
Is there not, or are they just not doing it? And that's the question for me that's always an interesting one. Like,
well, you're seeing it right now with Tiger Woods. You're seeing
over.
It with Tiger Woods. He moves the needle. Zion Williamson had the Instagram following, had all the social media impressions that they wanted to see. He moves the needle. You tell me who's doing that college basketball right now.
I've seen a couple of things written about this. Like, does it move the needle because it moves the needle, or does it move the needle because you force feed people to say it should move the needle so it starts to move the needle? And I think that's a really interesting sort of study of ESPN. And from a UofL women's basketball perspective, something else that kills their coverage is there's an ACC network that you would think would help, but a couple of the folks they have on that show clearly are not fans of the Cards for one reason or another. So
Is that a shot at your girl Muffet? Look at that.
I didn't say anyone's name.
You said Muffet. You and Blankenbaker. Yeah. I mean, you all are just.
Well, she's not a fan. I mean, it's pretty clear. And Monica McNutt, also on All ACC, is also.
What's her last name?
Clearly not a fan. She's a former Georgetown player. She played against the Cards when they were in the Big East together, and I don't.
You cut out. I didn't hear her last name.
It's Monica McNutt, and I don't think she is a big Cards fan.
What is it about M alliterations?
I don't know.
Muffet McGraw.
Yeah, that's
Monica McNutt.
They're not fans of Jeff Walls and the Cards. I can tell you that, and it's pretty easy to see, pretty transparent.
I mean, that's where Nick Evans just has to get Jeff Walls down to the ACC studios and just. Hey, we'll do a live hit right now with it, kind of take them to task.
It makes it, you're hoping that, you get a network for your league. You're one of the best team in the league over the last several years.
So you're
years.
Saying the ACC network's propaganda, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think they just.
Wow.
No,
I didn't
no,
think
no,
you were
no,
going to answer that.
No,
like,
no, I think that they went with someone. They hired someone to be an analyst who was clearly not going to be super objective because she's 1 year off of coaching and clearly has a grudge against another school that's maybe the best in the league right now. So
Nick,
wow,
it's I like it.
It's bad. Just watch it. It's not hard to figure out. 267.
Well, more of this. Yeah, I was going to say more of this coverage on the Jeff Walls show coming up
tonight
with Nick Kern on 93.9
Deville. 93.9
Deville.
267-9680. The phone number 437-9680. UPS Jobs text line. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got to get to our kind of audio Bet Rivers Twitter poll. Animated voices. I'm looking forward to this. Phil's looking forward to this. I know Nick's looking forward to this. We'll see how it goes. It'll be fun. It's next on a Wednesday edition of The V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.